verse 5. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through verse 5. And I'd like to speak on the 10th article of faith that Independence Baptist Church believes. That is sanctification. More specifically than that, we're going to be speaking about progressive sanctification. So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through verse 5. The Bible said, "For this is the will of God." I'd like to know what the will of God is, and if you want to know, here you can find out. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, accept our thanks for the day. And Lord, I pray that you might cause your word to be in this message, Lord, in your power. And Lord, that we might so worship you tonight in spirit and in truth, that we might be able to see the things that you want for us. Guide, Lord, and keep. And bless in all things, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Bible said here, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Did you know that God's will is that you be sanctified? Now think about that. That's God's will. In other words, if you are not being sanctified, you are not doing what God wants you to do, because it is God's will that you be sanctified. I wonder, did I say that? Did I say that? It is God's will that you be sanctified. Now, so if you're wondering what the will of God is and about certain things, it's God's will that you be sanctified. God is not, God is not talking to lost people. In this verse, he's talking to saved people. And he says to saved people, "I want you to be sanctified." Paul tells these people that it's God's will for them to be sanctified, just as it is for us to be sanctified in the power of God. What in the world is sanctification? I grew up somehow understanding that sanctification meant to get better and better. I understood that. I don't know how I got that. But that is not the definition of sanctification. So if you believe that sanctification means that you're getting better and better and better and better, then you're as wrong as wrong as wrong can be. Sanctification means that you are being set aside. The word sanctification does not mean to get better and better. It means to be set apart. It means to cause to pass over. In other words, you're not going to be doing some things you used to do. That's true. But sanctify simply means set aside. Now, what I'd like to do tonight is to give you a Bible definition of the word sanctify. Okay, I want to compare two verses of Scripture. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, turn with me and read this passage and see the word sanctify in this verse. Exodus, chapter 13, and verse 2. In verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying..." Now notice what he says in verse 2. See, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." Now that's a pretty clear verse. Sanctify. Well, what does he mean by sanctify? Well, if you want to understand what that means, look in verse 12 and it'll tell you. It says, "That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's." Now see, in verse 2, he uses the word sanctify, but in verse 12, he uses the word set apart. That's what sanctify means. It does not mean just to get better and better and better. The thought here is that there's got to be a separating from There's got to be a setting apart or causing to pass over from one point to another. That's what sanctification is. And we find when we talk about sanctification that it can involve a lot of different things. Now, in our text, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 5, we find that it's the will of God that you and I be set aside for the service of God. That's what that's talking about. That's the will of God for us, that we be set aside unto His service. But think of this. You can set aside things for an evil purpose. And people can set themselves aside for evil. Rahab the harlot was a woman who set herself aside unto whoredom. And the Lord saved her, and she was set aside to holiness. All right. There was a woman named Ruth, who was a Moabitess, who was not supposed to enter into the kingdom of Israel at all, but she was set aside under the service of God, married Boaz, and became a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Set aside, was she not? So you see, there are those that have set themselves aside for evil, and the Lord turned them around for good. Then there was the woman, Tamar, who played the harlot. She set herself aside as a harlot. So you see, that is a bad thing. Now, this thing, when you think about Tamar, this gets us into this point. Tamar was not a harlot, but she set herself aside as a harlot and reaped the consequences of a harlot. All right? Now, look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 17. And we'll find here, just as Tamar set herself aside as a harlot and reaped the consequences of a harlot, although professionally she wasn't that. She was only making that point with Judah, which she should have made another way. But the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, there are those that profess holiness that in actuality have set themselves aside unto wickedness. There is that. So in Isaiah 66, the Bible said here in verse 17, the verse 17 is the text we want to use, but let's go back up and read in verse 15. He says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with His chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury, and His rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves," now you see that word sanctify means set aside, "they that set themselves aside and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." Now, and you see what he's saying here in this place, that there's going to come a time of judgment upon the Lord, that the Lord is going to bring upon Israel, and then there are those people that sanctify themselves, and they supposedly purify themselves, but what they're really doing is privately they have set themselves aside to wickedness. And they're eating swine's flesh, and God said they're going to be consumed. They're going to be consumed away. And what he's talking about here is that we need to be right in our heart to the Lord. It's not just an outward thing that we do, but our heart has to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the things on the outside. You see, it's not just the appearance of purity, but it's real inward purity that we're talking about when we're speaking about sanctification. We're speaking about being set aside to the purpose of God every day. Not just every now and then, but every day. Also, think of this. We talked about how that people can be set aside for evil, people can be set aside for good. And then there's that appearance which is deceiving as for what a person is set aside for, both for evil and good. But also, inanimate objects can be set aside. In the Lord's house, there are those vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. That is also true. Do you know, we set aside things all the time and don't realize it. We sanctify things all the time. We set them aside for a specific purpose and don't even realize we've done it. Brother Brian has a yellow race car that's not supposed to be on the road. It's set aside for racing. Right? Drag racing. That drag racing car. Right? That's what that's for. Of course, my car is set aside to make me travel. That's what I do with that. You see, and we do things just exactly like that. I have a room in my house that's set aside for my study. It's not a holier room than any of their other ones, is it? No, it's just what it's set aside to do in my case. But when we think about sanctification, we need to understand that what it means is to be set aside for a specific use. Now, as far as the message tonight, think about this. We know our text states that it is the will of God that we be sanctified, that we be set aside for the use of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might use us, make us, mold us in His own image. But before we can ever get to that point, we've got to be saved. That's the very beginning. And so we find this, that in the realm of sanctification, there are these two points. There is the point of being set aside unto salvation and the point of being set aside unto service. Okay, let's look at those two. First of all, we must be set aside unto salvation. We must be appointed unto this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. And when we read these things and when we talk about these things, don't ever think that just because God has appointed us unto salvation, that takes care of us being saved. Because election is not salvation, it is unto salvation. Don't ever think, you see, that just because it is the will of God that we be sanctified, that we will be. Is that clear enough? I mean, because there's a difference in the two. Somebody says, well, God's will always be done. Well, we can talk to you about that in a little while. That's another message entirely about how that all works. God allows a lot of things to go on in this world. That's not His will. And God is going to get glory and honor out of everything that happens on this world, good or bad. But notice this. In the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 10, the Bible said, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now that means we are set aside unto salvation. We by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died for us one time, we're saved forever. That's what He's saying there. And salvation, when we're saved, we're different than we ever have been. We now belong to Jesus Christ. We are His forever and ever and ever. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. The Bible said here, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Those two passages are talking about sanctification and they're talking about salvation. So there is a part of sanctification that involves us being saved. We are set aside unto salvation and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 makes this statement. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice what he says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And so there we find the three parts. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But it is through sanctification, that is the Holy Spirit setting us aside, and we come to the place of obeying the command of Jesus Christ to trust in Him that we might be saved. And so we're talking about that that sanctification has a part of it has to do with salvation. But tonight's message is primarily going to be talking about progressive sanctification and how that we ought to let God deal with us. When we're thinking about sanctification through works or unto works or by works, we're talking about a progressive or a continuing thing in our lives as we continually set ourselves aside more and more unto the things of God. It's like this, folks. Whenever you're saved, there is nothing more important to you than being saved. I mean, your sins are washed away. That burden of being lost is gone, and you are so relieved that now you belong to Jesus Christ. It's not long after you're saved until sometimes that first initial burst kind of dwindles out a little bit. Doesn't mean your salvation's any less. It simply means that the cares and the troubles of this world seem to overtake you. And what God is wanting you to do is to every day leave those troubles and cares that come upon you, to leave those with Him. That's what He wants you to do. I think sometimes that God continually gives us difficulties because we've never learned to leave our troubles with Him. We always think we need to worry about them. We always think we need to be concerned about them. We always think we need to be talking about them and worrying about them and all that kind. And what God wants us to do is to leave that with Him. And sometimes God just keeps giving you troubles until you get so much you can't handle it. And you feel like you're going to collapse. And then you give it to Him. Man, you feel so good when you gave the Lord all your troubles. And so you feel like, man, I think I can handle one or two of those. And first thing you know, you got the whole batch again. And so you have to give them back to Him. You see, what we're talking about is progressive sanctification. People that are saved by the grace of God ought to come to the place in their lives that they trust God for absolutely everything. Just like when you were saved, you trusted God for everything. You just gave it all up. And whatever God wanted to do with you, you were pleased with it. We ought to be that way in our saved lives. We really ought to be in our saved lives. We ought to be so fixed on God's will and God's purpose for our life that if God wants everything we've got, that we'll freely give it to Him. See, I've worked for my stuff all my life. Well, maybe that's the problem. You have worked for your stuff all your life. Maybe that's the problem. Well, be willing to give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just give it up. He's going to do us right, isn't He? You think God will do you right? Well, you have to answer that. I can't answer it for you. You think God will do you right? I think He will. He will do us right. Notice some passages along this line. You and I have been saved unto good works. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, verse 9 and verse 10 makes this very, very clear. We'll read this. This is a passage that you all know. But the application of it may be a little bit difficult or different for us in our lives. But we ought to know that all the work we do ought to be for the Lord. He says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, 9 and 10, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, as any man should boast." We know those verses. Verse 10 oftentimes doesn't go with it in our minds. But he says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained, that we should walk in them." That's what he says. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 makes this statement, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You see, we ought to work for the Lord. We ought to set ourselves aside for the things that God has for us to do. and do those things with energy. Now think of this. We've talked about how that salvation has to do with sanctification, that part where we're born again. We've talked about how that sanctification has to do with progressively devoting ourselves more and more to the Lord. But do we ever get to the point where we don't sin? Now, you and I know the answer, but some folks don't. I met a little lady, young lady, many, many years ago. First time I'd ever heard of this at all. She came to our services at Willow Hill. And after services, we talked to her for a long time out on the front of the building. And she told me she doesn't sin. I said, "You're a liar." I mean, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Let me read this to you. The book of 1 John chapter 1. Here's what I was thinking about. The book of 1 John chapter 1. Here's what the Bible said about sin. You see, some people believe that sanctification is a second work of grace, and you get to the place that you do not sin anymore. That's not what sanctification is. Sanctification means we're set aside unto the Lord. It doesn't say we will not sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Now that's what I'm thinking. That we never get to the place we don't sin. I've never met anybody, as far as I was concerned, they got to the place they never did sin. Now, this lady told me, she said, "Oh, I don't ever sin. I make some mistakes. But I don't sin." Well, you know, I think, as I think about this, there is a difference between a mistake and a sin. I think there is a difference between the two. A mistake is a fleshly, earthly thing we just mess up on because we are sinners. Hitting the wrong key. Like a while ago, I called out 2 Peter when I meant 1 Peter. Well, I had 2 Peter wrote down in my notes. That's why I called that out. That's because my computer don't know what I mean. When I push 2, it thinks that I mean it. It puts down what I tell it. That's a mistake. That's not a sin. Is it? I don't think that's a sin. No, I don't think it's a sin that I typed the wrong number in there. I mean, it's a mistake. I don't think it's a sin. Sometimes we all make mistakes sometimes when we get our tongue going before we get our brain in gear. You know, it's still not even turned on. We get our mouth going and we make several mistakes. Sometimes we can sin that way. Sometimes it can be just mistakes. But a sin is missing the mark. A sin is transgression of the law of God. And there is a difference in the two. That's like in the Old Testament, you'll find many words used there. You'll find the word trespass being used in the Old Testament. See, what's a trespass? It's something to do against somebody. And the Bible uses the word sin. What's that? Against God. It makes it very clear the difference in the Old Testament. So that's what we find here. But this lady was referring to some other scriptures. Look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Here's what she was looking at. And she was saying, "I do not sin anymore since I have been saved. I have now this second work of grace upon me and I am a perfect person." Verse 4 of 1 John 3. She's saying this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not." Ooh. Does that mean that's what sanctification is? No. No, it doesn't mean that at all. "Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not." You know what? That's true. In my spirit I do not sin, but this old body has not been saved. He said, "Whoso sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." And that's talking about in my spirit, not in my flesh. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous." And I think the key there in verse 7 is doeth. verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's real strong, isn't it? Is he talking about sinless perfection? No. He's talking about inside you. Besides that, if verse 8 means that we do not sin, then what does it mean in 1 John 1, verse 8, 9, and 10? There is no contradiction in the passages at all. Our understanding of those sometimes are really bad. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And here's the key here. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That's why we don't. And he's talking about inside us, in our spirit. We do not sin anymore. No. Sanctification does not mean that we do not sin. It's not that at all. But progressive sanctification means that we set ourselves aside more and more unto completion. That's what he's meaning. Our sanctification is three things. Number one, it's positional. Number two, it's eternal. And number three, it's absolute. Our sanctification is these three things: positional, eternal, and absolute. Positional, because we are separated from one position, the sinner, into the position of a saint. Would you believe it? You're looking at a saint? I'm looking at saints. Sometimes we think saints, well, they're just really fine people. That's what I'm looking at. Aren't you? Oh, you're not going to get that. You're not going to bite that off too much, are you? Okay. Well, not only is our sanctification positional, because I am a saint of God, but it's also eternal. Meaning, of course, that I'm set aside from now on. From now on. The Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, look what it says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, talking about the eternity of our sanctification. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible said, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And that's good promise on eternal security of the believer. My sanctification is forever. I'm eternally perfect before God Almighty. Not only is that so, but it's absolute. Look at this passage in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. I don't think I've quite got over this passage yet. I don't think I quite have all of it. I don't even understand all about what this verse is saying. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible said, and notice the word carefully, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now get this. "Because as He is, so are we in this world." Well, that's absolute. Think of that. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." In the day of judgment, I don't have to go before God slinking in there like I'm caught. I don't have to do that. He says, "Because as He is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world." Not that we're going to be, but that we are right now. That's good. Sanctification. Set aside unto Him. Set aside unto Him and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to know that it is so. It's the love of God that has caused me to have boldness in the day of judgment. And it's the love of God that keeps me where I ought to be kept. That's a great thing. Well, let's go back to our text. And our text says, once again, it is the will of God that we be sanctified. It is the will of God that we should know how to abstain from fornication, that we should keep ourselves, that we should be right in all of our lives. That's what it says. Our text there is in, 2 Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3. "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, That's what we need. But while you're there in 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter 5 and verse 23. Here's what he says about our sanctification. Our progressively being set aside to the service of Almighty God. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That word holy is not H-O-L-L-Y, but it's W-H-O-L-L-Y, means completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are, the very God of peace is the one that's going to sanctify us completely. If we'll just yield ourselves to Him. But notice, He says up here in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. He says in verse 21, prove all things. He says in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Our responsibility is just to yield ourselves to the things that God wants us to do. Because if we don't, we won't be sanctified. Unless you want to be a dirty pot in the house of the Lord. I think there are some dirty pots in the kingdom. I really do. There are some pots under dishonor. And we don't want to be that way at all. We want to be a good vessel, fit for the Master's use. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 as we continue looking at this word sanctify and how that it's used. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now we're talking about progressive sanctification. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We ought to strive for righteousness. We ought to strive to yield ourselves and to let God do with us what He wants to do. He's not going to do us wrong. He will not ever do us wrong. But He'll always do us good. Always. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible's just literally full of this. It's just all over. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. There ought to be, as we grow in the Lord, we ought to grow closer to the Lord, and we ought to get more and more and more away from sin. Sin ought to shock us. You remember the passage there in the Old Testament, and the passage says, can we blush? And I'm afraid sometimes that we've become so accustomed to sin that we can't not even blush about sin. We just take it, oh yeah, that's just the way it is. But it ought to shock us. I mean, it ought to stir us up. Sin ought to bother us. We should not become accustomed to it at all. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, he says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I mean, progressive sanctification. We ought to lead people closer and closer to the Lord and not further and further away. Dedicating ourselves to the Lord and yielding ourselves. Believers ought to grow in grace. What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1? Lots of places here to look. 2 Peter chapter 1. And here he says in verse 3. Let's begin reading in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things, that's all things, that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Get that. That by these. We talked about the promises in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. But we've been given many, many promises of God, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see that? Man, what a blessing that is. You and I don't have to be weighted down with the sin of this world. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. That's what it says. Sin's everywhere, isn't it? Wickedness is everywhere. You see it when you go to work. You see it when you stay at home. You see it on your television. You hear it on your radio. But it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. If you take the promises of God and live by them, it'll be much better. Verse 5 said this, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." What do you think that's talking about? That's talking about progressive sanctification. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind." I'm telling you, folks, progressive sanctification is what God has for us. And if we will yield ourselves to God and let him do with us as he desires, we will be a vessel fit for the master's use. But if we don't, if we decide that we're going to go the other way, and we're going to take the cares of this world and be encumbered with all of that stuff, and we're going to let the thorns grow up and we're going to get all entangled in all the affairs of this world, we will not be bringing forth any fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not bear any fruit to perfection, as the passage states. We'll be like one of those that are saved, yet so as by fire. See, that's somebody else saved, yet so as by fire, right? That's somebody else. That's not us. Well, it could be us. We need to get with the program here and get with those things that God has for us. Because only then are we going to find any peace and contentment in this world or in the world to come. And we can have that now if we yield ourselves to the Lord in progressive sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Many, many passages about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18, look what he says here. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be like Jesus? Now, I'm going to tell you what, when you're saved, man, I mean, just being saved is a bit, that's the greatest thing in the world. But there is progressive setting yourself aside to be more like Jesus. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of our Lord," get this, "are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." What's that talking about? You can compare this passage with in the book of James. He said, "Do not be like the one that looks in the glass and goes away and just forgets what he was like." But we need to see Jesus Christ and with open face, honesty before God Almighty, just looking at Jesus Christ, you'll become more and more like him. That's what he's talking about in this verse. See what you look at the world today, and the world today has their images that they follow. They have their sports fans, sports idols that they worship. And they want to be like the sports people. And they want to be like the movie stars. And you know what? They begin to dress like them and they begin to act like them too. What should we be like? What are we looking at? If we're looking at the world, we're going to be like the world. That's what he's saying. But if we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ, we're going to be like Jesus. That's what he said in verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And you see there, it's not by our power. If we are set aside under the service of God, it's not because we've got better and better. It's because the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in us. That's what he wants to do, is to transform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And what we should be able to see in all of this is that that's the way we were created to start with, in the image and the likeness of God. And after we're saved, we ought to get back in this world while we live Because what did I read over there in the book of Hebrews? Pardon me, 1 John 4, verse 17. What was that passage? Did it not state over there that even as He is, so we are in this world? So, well, I don't believe in being that quite that religious. I know a lot of folks don't. But where are you? I mean, where are you? Think about it. That's sanctification. That's progressively, as God brings it to our mind as we live day by day, stopping, letting the world influence us, and we're influenced more and more by the things of God. Somebody says, you can't live in this world like that. Jesus did. So yeah, but they killed Him. You think we're going to get out of here alive? So I think I'm going to wait on the rapture. Well, your time to come might die. I mean, your time to die might come before that. I don't know. Believe it. Might not. But there ought to be a growing. Look here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, what the Bible said. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What's he talking about? If you read Hebrews here, you'll find that Paul has something he wants to tell these people about Jesus Christ, who is of the order of Melchizedek. But in the previous verses, Hebrews chapter 5, in the latter part of that chapter, he's saying, those people that are unskillful in the Word of God, they're just babes in Christ, and they don't have any strength or grace at all to accept anything. So he says, here's what I'm going to do with you. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, I'm going to go on to perfection, that is completion. We're not satisfied to stay over here and drink milk all the time. We need to get a little meat under us so we can grow up in the Lord and be strong and be the kind of people that He wants us to be. We need doctrine to do that. It takes the Word of God. I tell you what it takes. It takes personal Bible study and determination on your part, being led by the Spirit of God. You'll never do it on your own. But by the Spirit of God, you can. If every person in this building, if we just yield ourselves to God, turn ourselves over to God, God, do whatever with me that you want to do, and have no reservations whatsoever, what would happen? What would happen? Well, I don't know. Think about it. That's what happened in the book of Acts. Those people turned themselves loose to whatever God said, and they didn't care. Even when they were beaten, they come home and they told their people, I'm counted worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? See what an attitude they had? Totally different. Sometimes in the world, people don't want other people to know they're even saved. But in that day, it was not so. Let us go on. Let us leave these principles. Let us go on. And he talked about the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and all this kind of thing. And he said, you need to grow up. That's what he's talking about in all of these things. We've not attained. We've not attained unto these things at all. Rather, we should be striving for it. Look in the Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Progressive sanctification. I know that I've left just looking at verses that have the word sanctify in them. I know I've left those. But also know this, that there is an abounding more and more progressive sanctification of dedicating ourselves to the Lord and loving the Lord more and leaving off our grudges and our grievances and all that stuff that bothers us so much. Leaving it all. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent.